Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The evaluations continue in different guys, different spots, and it's kind of the best part. This is where the tests come, and you can have it in practice, but it's in the games where you have to deliver.
Falcons head coach Dan Quinn. Well, a lot of Falcons fans can do pretty quick evaluation on what happened last night. Oh, it sucked. Okay, that wasn't no good. Or that was awful. There's my evaluation. Man, the reaction is not good from a preseason game, giving Falcons fans a lot of consternation. All right, that's my big word of the day this morning, Hugh. I mean, it has not been a good day to react to the Atlanta Falcons.
Rightfully so. Rightfully so. I'm not going to sit here and try to sugarcoat it for the fans. They saw what they saw. But I will tell you this, it's not going to be like that. It's not going to, you know, Ty Sombrello needs assistance, and Coach Quinn is going to do, if they go with him, they're going to do everything in their power to make sure that he gets the assistance that he needs.
Let's welcome into the program our old buddy DJ Shockley, who was front and center right there on the sidelines for that mess last night.
Buddy.
Shock, what up?
You know what up. You what up.
What's going to Shock? I need to ask you, as a quarterback, I'm taking you back to your days as a quarterback, and I need you to tell me, what is your conversation in the huddle after you've been under assault, like Matt Ryan was under assault at the beginning of the game? What are you saying to your offensive line?
Well, the first thing you got to do, and kind of similar to what Matt did on the sideline, was he kind of got in the middle of them and said, okay, what's going on? What do you see? And obviously, you're playing against Greg Williams and that defense, and he brings a lot of exotic blitzes. He threw the whole kitchen cabinet at that offensive line last night. And the guy who's looking at that game, and you're like, why can't we block anybody? Well, obviously, everybody's second when you don't prepare as much. And they were bringing, you know, double-A gap blitzes. They were doing a lot of TE and ET stunts where, you know, the end of tackle were switching. And I had a chance to kind of listen in on some of the talks when they came off. And Chris Morgan, offensive line coach, basically the biggest thing that was happening was they weren't communicating. And when they weren't communicating, they weren't passing it off. Guys' eyes were in the wrong place, or they were taking wrong first steps. And when teams are blitzing, like you know you, and they get that step on you,
it's a wrap.
And that's kind of what was happening last night. A lot of stuff was in their face, and they hadn't seen it yet. You see your offense do a lot of different – your defense do a lot of different stuff, but here's a whole new team coming in doing some different stuff. So even though it looked bad and you never want your quarterback to get hit that much, that was a major, major learning experience for that offensive line. And you got to remember, this is – you know, this was the real first time that all those guys were together up front, and this was the first chance they got a chance to go out and play together, really. So it's a lot to learn from that. Obviously, you know, Matt got hit a lot, and I think he probably got hit on every drop back. But at the end of the day, I thought they finished the half pretty well, but they still got to clean up a few things.
DJ Shockley, former Falcons quarterback, of course, sideline reporter for the preseason games and among his many, many duties, and at Mercedes-Benz Stadium last night. And it needs to be said here that, you know, the Falcons came out pretty vanilla. I mean, it wasn't like that they were game planning against the blitz. They weren't hitting them with bubble screens or anything to slow down that rush. I mean, you would think that, you know, given, you know, it's a chess match and the Falcons were just moving pawns against their bishops, you know, so to speak. They weren't trying to counter them necessarily.
Yeah, and then if you look at kind of what happened in that two-minute drive, that's kind of what you do to a defense similar to what the Jets were like. They were an attacking-style defense, but you saw as soon as the Falcons got into that up-tempo, two-minute type of scenario, they moved the ball right down the field. And the reason for that is the best way to counter guys who are being aggressive and blitzing and coming after you is get that ball out of your hands pretty quickly. And in that two-minute scenario, Schaub was throwing it quick. He was getting the ball out of his hands, and guys were catching the rock. But through the first quarter, when there was a lot of pressure on them, you got to remember, the Falcons are still working on things that they want to be good at. They're still working on stuff that they want to get live action in a game. So everything can't be quick game. Everything can't be, straight drop back. They're working on some things so that they can get it on tape themselves and then go back and say, okay, here's a play we like. Here's a play that we maybe didn't like going into the season. So they're working on themselves, I think, more than they're worried about what's happening with the Jets.
Yeah, I would agree with that, especially the offensive side of the ball. But defensively, Vic Beasley got a sack. What did you see from the defensive side of the ball that you liked and disliked?
Well, I think the number one thing is they held the Jets on third down. They were 2 of 9 on third down and only held them to 93 pass yards. Besides that first drive of the ball game, that defense held up really strong. I thought there were times when they got some pressure on the quarterback. And sometimes you don't get all the sacks. The biggest thing is, you guys probably talk about it all the time, is just affect the quarterback. Sometimes you may not get him, but sometimes you can get him off his spot. You can get him to move a little bit. And even though Darnold in the first couple drives, he made a couple plays outside the pocket where he had to move. And that's what you want. You want that pocket to be pushed, and then you want to be able to get to him later in the ball game if you can. But I thought it was a solid, solid game for the defense, all around. They didn't give up a lot of big plays until late in the ball game when you got some guys in there that are trying to make this ball club and, being a little bit more aggressive. But I think DQ will take that. He wants the aggressive nature. And one thing that I've noticed in just the first three preseason games is the aggressive play calling by DQ. There's a lot more man coverage. There's a lot more guys in your face playing press coverage on the outside than we've seen in the past. And I think that's something to look forward to in the future is, okay, when you get all those guys lined up up front, you get Tack coming off the edge, Vic, you got Adrian Claiborne, Jack Crawford, you got Grady, all those guys coming through and putting some pressure on it, it's going to be a lot tougher for QBs to get that ball off when you got Trufant and you got Oliver and you got all those guys, on the outside, putting their hands on those receivers and holding them up a little bit.
We're reacting to the Falcons on a Falcons Friday and the loss to the Jets last night. Boy, DJ Shockley is joining us. DJ, good to see Keanu and Rico back out there, huh?
Oh, man. It was so refreshing to see those guys out there running around and playing. I had a chance to talk to Kiki, during the game. And the first thing I asked him was, how did it feel? Because obviously you've been in practice. You've been at OTAs and minicamp and training camp, but it's nothing like being able to strap it on for real and play in a ball game and run around and see how you actually hold up. And he said he was actually kind of nervous about it, but he was excited to get out there and play again. And obviously we know the story about Ricardo and Devontae, and as Devontae had it feel just to, get hit again. He said he felt great. He was excited to get out there and just take a couple licks. And I had a chance to ask DQ about Keanu, and he said last week when he told Keanu he couldn't play, he kind of looked at him like he wanted to fight him. And he said he had to step back and say, Kiki, calm down, man. I mean, you're going to get a chance. And when I interviewed him before the game last week, he said that Keanu gave him the Beyonce side eye because he couldn't play. So, you got some guys that are itching and hungry and ready to play.
Shaq, when you look at this running back spot, you got Ito back there, you got Brian Hill, you got Quadri Allison, and, of course, you got Devontae Freeman. Dude, I mean, to be honest, I kind of like all four of those guys. Do you possibly see all four of those guys being on this football team?
Yeah, man, you bring up a good point because I thought before this ball game, I thought it was more about Ito, I thought it was more about Devontae, and I thought it was Brian Hill. And I even thought Brian Hill could possibly move up into that number two spot because of the size that he had, and maybe Ito turns into a situational third down guy. Well, Ito showed last night he's still a dangerous back, especially if you get him in space. He ran downhill. And that's one thing I like about all these guys as well. They're all downhill, behind their pads, run physical type of backs. And I think the game has already started to slow down for Quadri. And you look at him from that first game at the Hall of Fame to last night, he looks like a totally different player with the football in his hands. And you can tell he's starting to see things better. He understands where his cuts are. He understands how to set up his blocks now, especially in some of the zone runs. And it's going to be interesting to see how they play those four guys when it comes to the cut time. Is Quadre a guy that can you afford to put on a practice squad? If he continues to play the way he does these last two games, it's going to be interesting because if all those four of those guys continue to play the level they're playing, that's going to take away from another position. And I know they want that big back. We haven't had a big back in Atlanta since my boy, the Burner, Michael Turner, or even Steven Jackson, who, you know, had a short stint here. So I know they've been looking for that short yardage, downhill bruiser type of back. And Quadre and Brian Hill are two guys who definitely look the part and can get it done.
Talking with DJ Shockley, reacting to the Falcons game last night as they now get ready for their final preseason game at home next Thursday night against Washington. DJ, you were on the sidelines last night. I heard stories, at least on the broadcast, you guys were talking about the fact that Casey wanted to go back into the game, that he grabbed his helmet, but eventually he went off the field. And, of course, injuries are going to be always a front and center concern for Falcons fans. And I guess we'll get an update this week. But did you get a sense that he could have gone back into the game or no?
Yeah. Even when he was walking off the field, you could tell that at first it looked like he just kind of got the wind knocked out of him. You know, he could have got just a bruised rib, or he got that wind knocked out of him when he was making that tackle near the goal line. And, you know, I think everybody kind of took a couple steps back and took a couple deep breaths when you saw Casey go down because of his playmaking ability and ability to get the football. He's going to be an integral part of his defense. And he definitely could have played, I believe, if, you know, they really needed him to come back in that ball game and it was a regular season game. But in this situation, similar to last week, there's no reason to risk further injury having a guy like KZ who you know is going to be an integral part of your team. So I expect him to be okay. He looked like he could have went back. I saw him on the sideline. They were being very cautious with him and saying, hey, this is, you know, just a preseason game. You really got nothing to prove. We know what you can do. But obviously he's a competitor, and he wants to get back on the field, especially and play with his guys.
Well, DJ Shockley, DJ, any kind, you know, any kind of reaction on the sidelines to the woes right now that exist in the kicking game?
You know what? Not really. These guys see Giorgio kick every day. Well, one thing I think we saw a lot when we started training camp. This is one guy who goes out and kicks all the time. I mean, he was different than Matt Bryan, where you know he didn't really take any days off. And we know Matt Bryan's a little bit older and all, but the Vecchio kicks all the time. And I know him missing that 50-yarder was a big deal because we saw Matt Bryan do it, and he was automatic for I don't know how many years, and we just are not used to seeing, you know, the ball not go through the upright. But on the sidelines, nobody really fretted much. I think everybody understands that it's going to be a little transition period, and you're hoping he makes these kicks, but this is good for him to, I say, get those out of the way right now. And make some kicks when the season comes. But nobody really fretted or had any different opinion when you saw him on the sideline when he had a couple of missed kicks. The first one was a little low. The trajectory came out a little bit low, and the guy got his hand on it. So he's got the leg for it. Just, you know, had to fine-tune a couple of things, and I'm sure he'll iron those details out.
DJ, I always appreciate your jumping in here and giving us the 10-4 on all this kind of stuff. I appreciate that, Bub.
All right, fellas, appreciate you guys. Have a good ride.
Good, go Mob, go Mob.
Go Mob, Blue.
All right, and, of course, DJ Shockley will be back at the sidelines for the game against Washington next Thursday, and we'll kind of get to pick his brain a little bit, too, on that. And to you, again, I understand all the concern. I have some of the concern. Let's see what, again, two more preseason games. If this were the Minnesota game, I would be, oh, man.
And you know, I'm here to try to give you my perspective. I don't want you to think that I'm trying to sway anybody feeling from the way that they feel. You're going to feel the way that you feel. That was a terrible outing last night. No question about that. But I am confident in saying that I don't think that that's who you're going to see. That they're not going to play like that when it gets real. It's not. It's impossible. That's not going to happen.
If you play fantasy football, our big fantasy football summit is going to be Saturday the 24th, a week from tomorrow. on the 24th at Twin Peaks and Buckhead. It's free to go in. Now, you got to pay for your own food and drink, but it's free to go in. We're going to have a number of experts there to answer your questions. Brian Baldinger. We're bringing in Brad Evans from Yahoo. Liz Loza from Fantasy Football Live. We're all going to be there as well. We invite you to join us. It'll be at Twin Peaks and Buckhead, noon to 3, a week from tomorrow. That's Twin Peaks at Peachtree and Piedmont. Come join us for our Fantasy Football Summit. Full details at 92.9thegame.com. Big weekend for the Braves with the Dodgers. And, of course, a big weekend for Atlanta United. Carlos Bocanegra, fresh off another trophy. What do the Five Stripes face as they get into MLS action on Sunday night? We'll talk to the technical director as we continue on this Falcons Friday on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Full time! There's another trophy for the Kings. Atlanta United wins the 2019 Campeones Cup.
Back pass to Cannon, now fires it down the near touchline to Escobar, who's clawed at by Rodriguez. Play on, says Aguilar. It goes inside to Nagby. Tap back to him by Joseph. Nagby sending it through now. Pereira with the backheel to Pitti in the box. Shot! Score! Emerson Hyman!
First goal of what would be a trophy-winning night for Atlanta United at Mercedes-Benz Stadium in a 3-2 win over Club America to get the Five Stripes, their second trophy, a Campeones Cup win, and now they move back to MLS play. And if we look ahead, it'll be Sunday night with our broadcast beginning at 8:30. More on that coming up in a couple of minutes. But let's welcome into the program on the morning show with John and Hugh, Carlos Bocanegra, technical director of Atlanta United.
Boca, Boca.
Hey, Carlos.
Morning, guys. How you doing?
Pretty good, pretty good. First of all, I'd like to say congratulations on the Campeones Cup. But let's get down to brass tacks, Boca, Boca. What does that jewelry look like, man? Is that like another ring, or is that like a medal? I mean, what's the plans?
I think it's just a trophy. Cool looking little trophy, but it was an event. You know, Campeones Cup, the champion of the Mexican League, champion of the MLS, and it was great to plan, and you know, they put a trophy behind it, so it makes it meaningful. But it was good to test ourselves against a really tough club and tough team like Club America, and we like winning things, so that was great, and the guys turned out really well.
Yeah, they did, man. I got to tell you, watching that match and you know, baseball being on at the same time, baseball kind of took a back seat, man, because that was must-see soccer. Because like you said, you know, most teams that you play against, they like to bunker a little bit. It was like a heavyweight bout where both heavyweights were like slugging it out.
It was really good. It was exciting end-to-end soccer. I think, you know, a lot of credit to our guys hanging in there. There's some tough tackles both ways. I mean, not only them, us as well. But great mentality, great win. And like I said, it's always good to test yourself against the best in the region. And they're a really good team, darn good team. So nice win for us. And you know, put that one in the pocket, put that one in the trophy cabinet, so to speak. But we've still got a lot of season left.
Yeah, the attention will turn to MLS. Of course, we'll talk about the U.S. Open Cup coming up next week. But right now it's MLS, back to the MLS season. You get a sense now, I mean, now you have a Campeones Cup. Now you could have a U.S. Open Cup. You're starting to kind of round into form from a health perspective that there could be big things coming, that maybe Wednesday was kind of the kickstart to a really good run at the end of the year.
Well, let's hope so. I think we had a really good performance against New York City, you know, on the weekend, and then followed up by another good performance here. So we've got to keep the momentum going. It is about when you get hot and when you start to catch form. So, you know, it's not a bad time for us. We've got a tough trip cross country to Portland now against a good team who they are now having a homestand and they're catching form. So that'll be another good challenge. And we've got the Open Cup final at home, you know, after we come back and play Orlando. So it does not slow down for us. It doesn't stop. But these guys, I think the mentality of the group right now is fantastic. And I think Wednesday night was a good example of it. And even our home game against New York City on the weekend as well. It's just really good performance. And the guys are starting to kind of be on the front foot and put the pedal to the floor, which is great.
Talking with Carlos Bocanegra, technical director of Atlanta United.
Speaking of the guys, when are we going to see Tito Villalba get some real time out there on the pitch?
Yeah, so Tito's come back from injury and now gaining his fitness as well. So he'll be available for selection. He's ready. He's hungry to compete. But, there's competition for spots right now. So we will see. But I would imagine he'll start getting some minutes here as we have a lot of games coming up.
I'm talking with Carlos Bocanegra about Atlanta United as they get ready to go on the road. Sunday night, Portland Timbers, late start, 9:30. I said 8:30, 9:30 actually, pregame. And 10 o'clock is the kickoff on Sunday night against Portland as they get back to MLS play. Is it fair to kind of look at everything that's kind of transpired this year and to say that now with the team health, with the understanding that the players have about how Frank DeBoer wants to play, with Frank DeBoer's understanding about how the players kind of want to shape the team, and we've had a lot of chatter about that, Carlos, that there's been kind of a meeting of the minds and an understanding, and everybody's sort of on the same page now? Is that fair to say?
Yeah, and I think, we had some good performances earlier in the year. I think we've just been inconsistent a little bit this season earlier on. And, a little bit, you can talk about tactics, you can talk about team shape, you can talk about individual performances, change in personnel. There's a lot of different factors in that. But, for me, the big thing is that the guys have really stuck together, and regardless of circumstances or injuries or anything like that, kept going, and we're in a good way now, and I think that's where sports are. When you're in a good rhythm, you're in a good feeling, it doesn't matter our team shape or the formation we put out. It's the guys are in a good rhythm and have a really good understanding with each other on the field, the movements, when to pass the ball, when to check, when to run into the channel, who's receiving it, that just the movement and the kind of synchronization, that was a big word, Hugh. Oh, my God. that's coming together now. So I think that's where you're starting to see, you talk about the team coming into form. That's where you're starting to see, I think, progress and the positivity with the outcomes and the results.
If we had a chime for that, you would definitely get a big word for that word you just used, Lo. No question about that.
Oh, my goodness.
but I know it was in the middle of the week. And, everybody was excited. But how did you
–
there you go. Thank you very much there, Orin Sigma. And I know you're a man about your business, and you're always about business, but how did you celebrate that win over Club America? How did you celebrate?
Yeah, we just not much. I mean, we have a game already on the weekend, so it's a little bit different than, last year when we won the MLS Cup. That's the last game of the season, and, you go to the offseason and it's done. So you can kind of kick your feet up and relax, and we appreciate it, and you kind of celebrate like that. This one, we very much, we're excited. Like I said, the guys did a great job. It was a really good game as well, I think, for just a neutral spectator to watch, which is also good for the brand, good for MLS, good for soccer in this country. So that was cool. But just hung out, congratulated each other, took the night and the next day, kind of yesterday, to appreciate what we were able to accomplish and celebrate a nice victory. But that's it, man. We're back at it now. That's behind us. We're very proud that we were able to win that. And like I said, we had a really good performance. But now let's focus on Portland. We've got Orlando and then an Open Cup final, which is really big for us because if we win that, we qualify directly for the Champions League tournament next season. So it's a big, big game for us, that Open Cup final.
Carlos Bocanegra joining us. It is a big game, and Hugh was talking about this, and I had to step back and kind of take a big picture because I get lost in my desire for MLS. But if you step back, look, right now, Carlos, Atlanta United at the moment is the defending champion of the United States, best team in the club team in the United States, right, MLS champion. You are now the best club team in all of North America because you just won the Campeones Cup, and the next step would be to win that Champions Cup and be the best team in the entire hemisphere. I mean, you're taking those steps.
No, look, it's the goal. And when any chance, like we have the Open Cup final, in a few Tuesday the following Tuesday, right? So that is the domestic cup. And that's where, it's a pretty cool tournament. With all the amateur teams start out and we've made it all the way to the final. And again, getting to that Champions League and winning the Champions League tournament where you can represent at the Club World Cup from the hemisphere. You get to play against the likes of the Liverpools, the Real Madrids, River Plates. So that's cool. And that's where we'd ultimately like to go. But you have to qualify for those first. And that's why it's fantastic we're playing in a final in August that can help us achieve those goals.
Now, what about this being a rematch Sunday night of the MLS Cup game from last year? when we beat Portland. They had a really good contingent. You know, we were at the game, and obviously there were probably, 3,000-4,000 Portland fans at that game. So I would imagine the Portland fans have kind of circled this from the beginning.
Yeah, probably. They have a really good fan base as well. I think it's always a fun place to play. People talk about, you know, playing in Atlanta, playing in Portland, probably two of the better atmospheres in the league. Obviously ours is the best, but so I think it'll be fun for the guys to play. I don't think there's going to be anything where, you know, our guys or their guys are necessarily, you know, revenge, because a final is a final and this is just a league game, but you know, there'll be a little bit of hype around it, and we always want to win as well. So their fans might have a little bit more, maybe hype around it, I would say. But I don't think it's going to be out of control.
Carlos, we look forward to the game Sunday night. Thanks for taking a few minutes. Congratulations again on the Campionis Cup.
Yeah, have a good one.
Thank you, guys.
Carlos Bocanegra, Technical Director of Atlanta United. Again, our coverage begins at 9:30 on Sunday night with a kick at 10. Our official watch party will be at Restaurant 10 Bar on Northside Drive. It's Restaurant 10 Bar on Northside Drive, right across the street from Mercedes-Benz Stadium. That'll start at 9 o'clock. Going to be a late Sunday night. 10 o'clock game on Sunday night for us. That's
the one we're going to watch in the morning. Watch that one on the treadmill.
Yep, get up and record that one. And hopefully Atlanta United, again, rematch of the MLS Cup Championship game from last year with Atlanta United taking on the Portland Timbers. And then he's right. I mean, you get the Orlando game, and then you get the U.S. Open Cup. It is a Falcons Friday. Andy and Randy in the bullpen, they're getting ready. They are chomping at the bit to give you their two cents on what they saw at Mercedes-Benz last night and to look forward to the huge series that begins tonight at SunTrust between the Dodgers and the Braves. All ahead on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Morning show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. I was reading through some of these on our Twitter at 92.9 The Game. We're doing this new thing called the Morning Menu, where we ask three questions. And the third question, Hugh, is always for lack of a better term, a slice of life question. And this morning what Abe came up with is, what's your go-to karaoke song? Now, this is probably a bad thing for me to admit. I mean, I know what karaoke is. I've been to karaoke nights. I've never sung karaoke, but I guess I didn't understand the concept. You want to, what's that? Trip, what? I see what you're saying, group trip. That was Oren, the technical director. You want to sing something fun, not necessarily something you can sing. In other words, it's not about how good you are.
Yeah, we kind of tried to tell you that while we were talking about it, but you kind of didn't listen to what we were saying. That was the whole point. That's why I said I sang Two Live Crew, Me So Horny, because that is one that if you hear the lyrics of the song, it's funny and it's weird. Like, you're singing in a room with a bunch of people and you're singing that, and it's like, oh my gosh. If you're in the right group, they're probably singing along with you. You know, and it's a good time because you go there to do, like, some people go to karaoke night to get something off their chest, like when they're singing slow songs and things like that, so they'll actually sing them, like, for real. But most people go to have fun. Had a couple drinks, go have fun. Maybe there's a mechanical bull involved. Go ride a mechanical bull, something like that, and just have them. Yeah, you don't want to sing karaoke and ride the mechanical bull at the same time. But, you know, do something like that. And then, you know, maybe you might make a new friend. Maybe that's how it kind of works at karaoke, I guess. It's not me, for me personally. I'm just saying for other folks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've never tried to sing karaoke only because I can't sing. So I always figured, you know, I went to this one. The one time I was going to karaoke night was I was dating a girl and she liked karaoke. But she could sing. This is back when karaoke was first starting, or at least I first found it. This girl could sing. So she'd get up to you and she would sing 4, 5, 6 songs. And it was like this contest.
See, yeah, that's too much.
Yeah.
See, she's trying to get on America's Got Talent or something.
Right, that's
it
what
it doesn't work like that. Like, I've been to karaoke bars where people, like, get up there and they will sing, like, certain slow songs because, like I said, they have something on their mind and they want to get it off and they want to sing their song. And I've been to karaoke bars where, you know, certain, like, teammates that I play with, they would sing songs and everybody would laugh and giggle and it would just be a great time. Those are the ones that I want to go to. I want to go to the ones where everybody's kind of just kicking back and just having a great time. I don't want to go to a karaoke bar where somebody's an aspiring singer. and they want to do that. No, that's not fun. I don't want to hear you singing about your dude left you or some stuff like that, and you're singing with a whole lot of meaning. I want to have a little bit of words slurred in your speech when I go to karaoke. I want you to mess up some words when you're singing because you're not afraid to, you know, be made fun of or stuff like that. I hate going to them karaoke bars where everybody want to be taken serious. That's like the worst. That's the worst one to go to.
Yeah, because that was always my experience, because I know that, you know, these bar games that people play, like Abe plays trivia, right?
Yeah.
And, but that's serious, isn't it? I mean, it's not like, you're going out there
but
to
Abe
win.
But Abe also karaoke's too.
And Orin
also karaoke. Orin and Sigma also karaoke. Like that, like, see, that's the thing. You have to be, like, I think in order to have fun doing karaoke, you have to go with a group of people who don't mind being laughed at or ridiculed.
Abe said, you go every Saturday to karaoke?
Okay. Yes, like a bar, like a little bar up the street, because he invited me one night and I stood him up because I was tired. I didn't feel like going out there. But yeah,
okay.
That's what you go. You go to something like that because you go with people that think the same way you do. They don't mind, like, being made fun of or having fun or poking fun at themselves. That's the whole point of going, for you can have fun.
Yeah, I honestly, the last time I was at a karaoke bar would have been, like, 1987. I mean, I ever seek out here. Of course, I don't go play trivia bars either. So, well, heck, I don't even go to bars anymore. Footloose, I don't remember.
That's a good song. That's a good karaoke song. Footloose. Tipped off your day shoe. I don't even know the words, but it don't matter. I would be a part. Like, the thing, like, if I'm going to karaoke, I'm going to need two things. And one of them is a designated driver, because I'm about to go ham. Like, when I sing karaoke, I'm going ham. I'm going to go ham. And I'm going to sing everything that's out of my range. I'm going to sing all of that. I might even get up there and sing some Chaka Khan. Might do a little bit of that.
One of our favorite tweeters, at Barrett Gay, my favorite karaoke song is Electric Avenue by Eddie Grant. I had almost forgotten
we're
about that.
We're going to rock on through.
Yep.
Yeah, you got it, John. You was about to sing.
I know,
sing.
I was about to sing Electric Avenue.
Go for it then.
Electric Avenue.
you got to be, when you do karaoke, man, you got to be comfortable.
I got to be drunk. Pretty much. It's funny because, you know, certain things I'm not comfortable with on stage. One of them would be singing. I mean, I could talk on stage.
No,
you
can.
You know.
I can tell. I can definitely tell that. It's some things you're not comfortable with. Me, on the other hand, I mean, you know,
I'm like
an open book. You know, once you've been like, you know, been through some stuff. Like, once you've been to jail, it ain't really too much. You can be like, you know, really too much uncomfortable about once you've been locked up. So it's kind of like that's how it kind of rolls for me.
This hour of the program, just kind of an over here segue, brought to you by Renter's Warehouse, as we look forward to a big weekend here, talking about, because it's my, I was thinking about this as my date night tonight. I thought, you know, what are we going to do? Now, my wife, the Maven.
You're not going to, just say it, John, you're not going to be allowed to go to karaoke. Not on date night.
No.
You're not going to be allowed to go to karaoke.
She would never do karaoke, and that would not be her thing. Nope. She would dance, but she won't go to karaoke. But I don't even know where you can go dancing around my place anymore. I think I can only think of about three bars, Hugh, that are within 10 miles of my house, and they're all sports bars.
I don't know.
You know, I mean,
I don't live in West Islamabad.
Well, we used to have, you know, out there in the hinterlands. I mean, we used to have big clubs out there.
You could go, if you was in like the city, you could go off a perimeter. I think they go dancing at Loca Luna. If my man Craig Carlos Valentino was listening, I think they do dance over there, because I know Craig likes to dance, and they dance over there. They dance the salsa. They get the salsa dancing.
Yeah. There was a place called Sneakers on Windy Hill back in the day, and then there was the Electric Cowboy, but they're all just kind of gone. And so, I mean, because you know what's happening now is that these companies are coming in and buying all these pieces of property and turning them into condos. Okay. That's kind of the way it
works. Or you can go somewhere and ride the electric bull. They got electric bulls around town. I don't suggest
really
you
have...
ride it, though.
No, I've never tried that.
That's, like, not what men are supposed to do, I don't think. I mean, if you ride the mechanical bull, if that's what you like to do, that's fine for you.
Only one I ever saw was at a place called Wild Bill's up in Gwinnett. I don't even know if it's even – is Wild Bill's even there anymore? I have no idea.
I have no clue.
That was the only one I ever saw in town. Anyway, if you're a fantasy football player, I know you take it probably pretty serious, and we're going to invite you to join us at 99 The Game's Fantasy Football Summit. It's at Twin Peaks and Buckhead on Saturday the 24th from noon to 3, a week from tomorrow, Twin Peaks and Buckhead. We're going to have a lot of experts there. Liz Loza of Fantasy Football Live, Brad Evans of Yahoo Sports, and Brian Baldinger from the NFL Network. They're going to be there answering all your questions about fantasy football. So you're going to get the inside scoop. There's no charge to come in. You got to pay for your own food and drink. That's on you. No charge to come in. Saturday, August 24th, noon to 3, Twin Peaks and Buckhead. Full details at 92.9thegame.com. That's another thing. Again, you know, I haven't played fantasy football since the 80s.
We're about to play. I was just talking to Bunky Pants about how we're going to handle this fantasy football with the Coca-Cola thing and, you know, just trying to give him the layout of the land. We're going to have fun with this. We're going to have fun with this. We're going to try to win. We're trying to get rings. We're trying to win. We're trying to win fantasy football rings. That's something that I have never done, and I'm still kind of competitive, so I'm going to compete when it comes to the fantasy football realm. I'm definitely trying to do that.
I just hope the Falcons compete in the real football realm against Washington, because that would have some fans' anxieties at the moment after last night. Andy and Randy going to dance their way in here, top of the hour, on this Falcons Friday on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.